With me here in this interview, I have Rick Tolman, who is the CEO for the National Corn Growers Association. Rick, we're at your land use conference and talking about things like life cycle analysis and how this is going to impact agriculture and corn growers specifically when it relates to things like ethanol and ethanol production, et cetera. First of all, what was the idea behind putting together this conference and what were you hoping to accomplish?
We started out the renewable fuel standard and the whole legislation that was put forth in 2007 as a nation trying to reduce our reliance on imported oil and address energy security. And there were some other things. We wanted to improve the environment. We wanted to lower prices to consumers, build jobs, that kind of thing. And we had some arcane language put in there that said, we'll take a look at indirect land use change and its implications and as an unintended consequence. And really what we think, there's an unintended consequence of the unintended consequence, which may be because of this arcane language that we may, in fact, start using more imported oil because this language, we have regulation that exceeds our ability to measure. So we wanted to shine some light on that arcane language and what's happening because of this rule.
Well, and when you say that we can't measure, when you look at some of the things that are being spoken about, presented here in terms of models for measuring something that's unmeasurable because it's in the future, for example, what do you hear from these various presenters so far? I know we got more to go, but how would you describe the different types of models and assumptions that various researchers, for example, are making in order to come up with this?
They've all been pretty candid in saying that, first of all, that they're having to make a lot of their own assumptions, that it's subjective, that they don't have the data, that, in fact, they are being ultimately forced to do this because of the legislation, the language that's put in the legislation, but they don't quite know how to do it and don't have the tools to do it, and they're adapting things that were designed for something else to do this measurement. And yet it's going to have a huge, huge implication on our agricultural communities, on our biofuels industry, and ultimately our nation.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask is how important is this? When I spoke to one of your corn grower leaders who's got his own farm, I mean, he thinks this is a huge issue and extremely important. That's probably a message we can't emphasize enough, right?
It really is. You know, we're looking at the camel's nose under the tent or the tip of the iceberg, whatever analogy you want to use. But just long and short, if you look at what California has done with this issue and their low-carbon fuel standard, right now, basically after 2010, you won't be able to sell ethanol in California if you come to the extreme on that. And it is really the only viable low-carbon fuel that's available in California. So what does that mean? More oil. Very few people, especially these modelers, believe that ethanol isn't a low-carbon fuel or doesn't lower greenhouse gases. But the tasks they've been given and the tools that they have to measure it are leading them to unexpected conclusions, unintentional consequences.
So I guess I hear you saying is that we probably could come to some reasonable analysis or agreement at some point on some of these things, but we're kind of being forced into rushing it along, for example?
Yes. Yeah, I think one of the scientists earlier this morning used a term. He said where the regulation is ahead of the science. And I think that's it in a nutshell. We're being forced to put regulations in place that are going to have really arcane impacts, and we don't have the science to back it up, but the regulations are forcing these scientists to do things that they're not ready to do.
Well, besides these people presenting here from universities, we've heard from an EPA representative, and I know there's just a pretty diverse group of presenters here. Are there things that NCGA is doing to try to, on your own, independently come up with some way to reasonably try to measure these things? And or just describe some of the work you're doing on behalf of your members to help with what we're facing here soon.
Excellent question, Chuck. You know, one of the big things is just putting on this conference so we can shed some light on it. The rest of the world is hearing that corn production leads to simply deforestation in Brazil, which has a huge impact on greenhouse gases. Well, that That's the simple message that gets out in the national media. That clearly is not the case. People can't prove that. It's not. There isn't a cause and effect like that. So we're trying to look at those different chains and different variables and different elements and show that this, the reality of what happens. We've had Amazon deforestation for 30 years going on. We've had a biofuels boom for 5. You know, there is not a correlation. We had record exports last year. We're not taking corn out away from people that need it in foreign countries. So we're looking at the data. We're working with other modelers. We're trying to make sure that our policymakers in Washington understand that this is a much more complex issue than a few sentences that were put into the 2007 energy bill, and that it may have unintended consequences that are very devastating. So it's a huge issue, and it's one we're putting a lot of attention toward.
Some of the things that maybe aren't getting out message-wise, as you just mentioned, talking about the message that the media is getting, for example, things like how about things like increases in production in terms of an acre, of how much corn we're producing out of that acre. You know, how much more can we as we look forward? And what else besides something like that is maybe not being taken into account or at least being spoken of inside the Beltway or in the media?
Those are good points, and there's a couple of things that come to mind. I think the productivity question is one that's really clear and ought to be first and foremost. We have doubled our yields in the last 30 years, and we're on track to double them again in the next 20. And so that means it takes less acres to produce the same amount of corn. So we're not diverting corn away. We have plenty of supply. We have the ability to keep increasing that, and we're just on the beginning of that curve. So we have a tremendous productivity future looking at us. And when you project the future based on the past, you miss some of that increase in productivity. I think another key point, Chuck, is that the ethanol industry is relatively new, and we have seen tremendous innovation in that industry. If you look at the history from 2005, 2006, 2007, tremendous changes in their efficiency in terms of their input use, their use of energy, their use of water, because there is both rampant adoption of new technology, and we have really exciting new technology in the pipeline that will continue to change this industry. So again, projecting the future based on the past is not accurate because the future is changing rapidly. And I think the same case is true for the processing methods. We have something called corn fractionation. We have advanced biofuels coming. Those are all built on this base. Every problem that critics can raise about ethanol or corn, there is a solution very near in the future. Mm-hmm.
So as we look forward then coming out of this conference, how do you feel about where this is going right now, and you know what might we be talking about a year from now,
okay? Well, I feel good that this conference and other things that are going on, there are other similar conferences and more articles where people are getting more balanced in looking at this issue and understanding it from a broader viewpoint and putting it into perspective. So I feel good about that. What concerns me is the regulations are in place, and so people are responding to regulations. What happened in California has happened. Now we have one more shot at that next year where they're going to re-review their rules and regulations, but if those don't change, ethanol's gone. Biofuels are gone in California, and many states follow California's rules. The rule passed in the federal legislation in 2007, unless we can go in and get that changed, it is there, and it's a requirement. So, you know, in terms of our body of knowledge, I feel good about that. We're getting to understand what this means and what the implications are. In terms of the regulations in place, that's still a huge challenge.
Anything else about the issues being talked about here at this conference we didn't touch on you might want to mention for anybody who especially couldn't make it here but might have really liked to have been?
You know, one point I want to make, an interesting contrast, is the baseline that California is using and that EPA is using is based on gasoline's greenhouse gas profile of 2005. And then we're projecting ahead to what biofuels will be like in 2022. Well, that's a little bit of an unequal comparison because we know very clearly that gasoline's greenhouse gas profile will continue to get worse and worse. It does not have efficiencies and improvements, new technologies coming. In fact, when we go to tar sands, we have to drill deeper. It is going to take more energy to get that gasoline, that petroleum. And yet with ethanol, with biofuels, it's exactly the opposite. We're just beginning the upward curve on advanced biofuels. So we will get better and better and better if we're allowed to go down this curve. And yet again, the danger is this regulation or this these rules may stop that progress. And what an unintended consequence when we may end up having to use more imported oil, which has a worse greenhouse gas profile, instead of biofuels because of rules that were designed to protect us from using more greenhouse gases.
I want to thank Rick Tolman, who is CEO for the National Corn Growers Association. And here from the NCGA Land Use Conference, I'm Chuck Zimmerman reporting.